Hare Krishna. I welcome all of you for this Sunday feast festival at Shishi Radha Gopinath Mandir. It's a very auspicious month, month of Kartik going on. There's a nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that is from Canto 5, Chapter 5, Text 1. Rishabhdev instructs, Lord Rishabhdev instructs his sons.
Nayam teho deyapacham riloke kashtan kamam arhate virbhujam ye tapo divyam putrakaye nasatvam shuddhedyasmad brahma saukyam tvanantam.
Translation: Lord Rishabhdev told his sons, my dear boys, of all the living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hawks that eat stool. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified, and when one attains this position, he attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. So this particular verse sums up as to what we are supposed to do when you got this human form of life. It is said that after millions and millions of births, one finally attains this rare human form of life. We do not know how many lives we have gone through. It is said that there are 84 lakh species of life. We have gone through insect bodies, we have gone through animal bodies, the birds, the plants, worms. Probably we have gone through human lives also. And again we have gone through those cycle. And said, you know, after many many lifetimes, we ultimately get this rare human form of life. That's how rare it is. And the Shastras mention that now that you have got this human form of life, especially here Rishabhdev mentions, Nayam deho deha pajam riloke. Now that you have got this human form of life, don't spoil this human form of life by engaging in sense gratification. Kastan kamam vidubjam arhati vidubjam. These are sense gratification available even for the dogs and hawks who eat stool. So Prabhupada at many places, one of the very famous verse Prabhupada mentions many places, and Prabhupada mentions very nicely at different places in his conversations, in his lectures on this particular theme. And Prabhupada emphasizes point that sense gratification is available for animals. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, all of them do it. But then now that you have got his human form of life, don't do this. Because that is available in other life forms. But now that you have got this human form of life, you have to just look forward to something higher than that. It's otherwise, we are none other than, or maybe non-different than the animals. Animals eat, we also eat, maybe in a royal way. Animals may be eating with their claws or with their legs, but then you know we eat with our fork and spoons. And we may be having a dining table and maybe eating in a very royal way. The animals, they sleep, and even we also sleep maybe in a 3 BHK, nice posh locality with a air condition. And then afterwards mate, animals also perform this, we also do the same. And defending, they have their own ways of defending themselves, and we also have our own ways of defending. So then if we are doing that, what is the difference between us and them? Ahar nidra bhai maitunam cha samaneta pashuminaranam dharmai eko adhiko vishesho dharmena ina pashuminaranam. If you are not able to inquire about the higher goal of life, then we are none other than the animals. No difference between us and the animals, that's all. So it is said that Prabhupada mentions that the entire material civilization is aimed at how to improve or maybe how to increase our sense gratification. That's all, nothing else. Now, he has one place. He says that, you know, whatever we aim at material comforts. That's why people, they take to religion because they can get some economic gains. Why they want this? So that they can enjoy. Dharma, artha, kama. That's the only reason. That's all. If you see, right from ages, you know, each and every one of us are engaged in, you know, gratifying our senses. That's all. We don't do anything else. We just try to gratify our senses. We just try to acquire more and more possessions for ourselves. And that is going on for eternity. And Prabhupada mentions, he says that advancement is nothing but aimed at acquiring name, fame, prestige, position, other things. You know, we want to acquire, we want to gain some, so that we can have some name for ourselves. Probably we should like gain some prestige or maybe some power, money. Everyone wants money in this world, right? Prahlad Maharaj in Srimad Bhagavatam says, you know, money is sweeter than honey. Why? Because honey can only satisfy the tongue, but money can satisfy all our senses. If you have money, and then you can satisfy all our senses. That's why he says money is sweeter than honey. Everyone is engaged in just making money in this world. You go for a morning walk and you will find even somebody who is in the 60s also will talk about share market. Aaj jitna bhav badh gaya, jitna bhav kam ho gaya. Or maybe, you know, buying and selling something. Or how to make money. Everyone is engaged. And said that Prabhupada mentions very nice, you know. He says there is a continuous rivalry in this world to satisfy our senses. Like we saw this drama now, you know. Like, use something, gadgets, so that you can get. You want something more. You are not satisfied at all. You are not satisfied with anything in this world. It is said that Prabhupada mentions very nice thing. He says, to rich people, consumer power grants them a reputation to be most respectable, aristocratic and well-educated. In other words, in this world, somebody who has money, you know, you can do anything. Probably, you know, all the people in the world will respect that person, offer obeisances. It is said that the biggest educational institutions are run by those people who have money. And who are working for them? People who are educated are working for them. Right? Big institutions, maybe the doctors or the engineers, they are educated, but they work for someone who has that money power. So, ultimately in this world, everyone is for that. And there is continuous rivalry. There is continuous rivalry for acquiring power, for name, for prestige. And if somebody interferes in that, this enmity. Just like in this drama we saw, that this person was, you know, upset because somebody else got more than him. And he went to the extent that he wanted to even remove one of his eyes so that the other person loses both. But little does he realize that he has lost his eye, which is not going to get it back. And he doesn't understand that he can be satisfied with what he has also. But he doesn't remain there. He is always trying to compare what others have. Right? This is actually, Prabhupada mentions, this is a fallacy of this modern world. We are all in this age of technology. Modern technology. Right? Scientific advancement. We say we are advancing scientifically. We are advancing. But what's happening? It is said that, you know, this is a fast world. Age of fast worlds, right? And we think that we are advancing. Earlier, probably we were traveling in maybe cycles or maybe moped. That was what was there. When I was small, I would see more of cycles and mopeds. But hardly anyone rides a cycle now. Mopeds are hardly seen. Cars are there. Faster cars, better models. You know, you want everything fast in this world. The fast trains, the fast cars, fast internets, wider roads, highways, freeway, And if somebody interferes it, then there are problems. If you see that, you know, anywhere, like sometimes here also we see sometimes, you know, this particular lane is a very small lane. And you just park your, stop your car even for 1 minute, somebody is behind, he'll just start honking. Probably he may have to just go to his house, that's all, in maybe in another 5 minutes more. But he has to honk. Because so much used to everything fast, fast, that you don't have time to think what you are doing. You know, you said honk, that's all. Honk, 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 honk. So everything fast. So fast internets, fast highways, fast trains, everything fast. So, you know, people are in this world of technology. Want to learn language? We don't want 4 years or 5 years. Learn language in 1 month. If somebody can teach you 7 months, in 7 days we are ready also. It is said that to learn Sanskrit language you have to spend a time in Gurukul ashram for 12 years, then you learn Sanskrit. But then somebody wants to learn something, then you want something fast. Crash courses. That's why we also have, you know, 6 day Bhagavad Gita course. You can't learn Bhagavad Gita in 6 days, but then we also have to have that type of a strategy that, you know, learn Bhagavad Gita in 6 days. You know, there is a nice poetic expression which I had, somebody had sent me almost about 10 years back, and it is still applicable today. Nice, you know, paradox of life. Most of them who are computer savvy, internet savvy, may have also got it. But then this particular poetic expression is actually telling us the real fact of life as to where we are and how we are posed. Just read out. The paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers. This is the paradox of life. We are all tall, tall buildings now. 10 years back, probably we would not see all these tall buildings, but now we see so many tall buildings coming up. But then we are short tempers. Wider freeways, but narrower viewpoints. Our viewpoints are so narrow, but you have wide, wide freeways. We spend more but have less. This is an age where advertisements are just making you feel that you need this and you have to buy this. If you don't buy this, then you are good for nothing. You know, it happens. Even when I drive, first time when I go through it, when I see this, I say nothing. But then you pass every day through that and then I feel, oh, what is this? And then you get attracted. Dhyayato Vishwan Pumsam. You get attached to it. Then you feel like you should have it. That's what is advertisement. Advertisements make you feel that you want more. And they are ready to give you credit cards, you know, for free. Just take this, buy whatever you want. You don't have to pay now, pay after some time. After 45 days the bill comes. And if you delay by 1 day also, you have to pay. You have to pay, I have to pay twice. 1 day delay, I have to pay 350 rupees. You know. So the thing is that the credit card systems, you know, are making you spend more and have less. If you see, our parents, grandpa would do a lot of savings, but now there's no concept of saving. Just spend. Spend, you know, like that. You know, I'm talking about myself also, every one of us in the same rut. So don't think that I'm here and I'm telling, we are also the same, everyone. You know, telephones at that time, you know, you get a telephone connection, you have to pay 500 rupees deposit and it will come after 10 days. But now, a drop of head, you just, how much is just 20,000 rupees, that's all. Nothing. So, it's like this. We spend more, but we have less. We buy more, but enjoy less. We have bigger houses, but smaller families. Big, big rooms, but then, you know, small. More conveniences, but less time. We have more degrees but less sense. We have degrees but more knowledge but less judgment. Knowledge is there but you cannot apply. More experts yet more problems. More medicines but less wellnesses. So many hospitals are coming up but things are just increasing. More and more diseases are coming up. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. We talk too much, but love too seldom. We learned how to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. We have been all the way to the moon and back but have trouble crossing the street to meet a new neighbor. We talk about going to the moon and back, but we do not know who the new neighbor is, and we don't take an effort to even go and meeting them and say Hari Bol. We conquered outer space but not inner space. We have done large things but not better things. We have cleaned up the air but polluted the soul. We have conquered the atom but not our prejudice. We plan more but accomplish less. And says this is the age of fast foods but slow digestion. Everyone wants fast food, right? You know, nobody wants to cook at home. Fortunate are those who have wives who can cook at home, or mothers who can cook at home. But now nobody wants to do that. Everyone wants fast food. But what's happening is that so many problems. Big men and small character. Big men but small character. Steep profits, shallow relationships. These are days of two incomes. That means both husband and wife work. But what happens? More diverse. Fancier houses, but broken homes. You may have big house, but then broken homes. So this is the age where you are living in. So that person is saying that remember, spend time with your loved ones because they are not going to be around forever. Say a kind word to someone who looks up to you in awe and reverence, because that little person soon will grow up and leave your side. So this is actually the paradox of life, that we are all into, you know, and we are all getting trapped, and we have forgotten the goal of life. Actually, what is the goal of life? Kastan kaman arhate vid bhujambe. Rishabdev tells that acquiring human form of life, we are just, you know, enjoying like the dogs and hawks who eat stool. Very symbolic actually. Dogs and hawks, they don't discriminate what to eat, when to sleep, when to mate. They just do when they want. If you see dog or hog, you see, just go on eating. Doesn't discriminate whether it's a good or bad. Prabhupada says, it doesn't discriminate wet halwa or, you know, halwa. If it's given halwa and a stool, it'll take stool. Doesn't understand. So it said that, you know, basically Srila Prabhupada mentions that one has forgotten his goal of life. What is this goal of? What are we doing? Now that I have got this human form of life, what am I supposed to do? That nobody understands in this world. Very nice, somebody sent a message to me, which is symbolic. How in this world we just get caught up in a sort of a competition, you know. A person was jogging in the morning, and when he was jogging, he just saw another person in the front about a mile ahead also jogging. So I can relate to this, because normally when you go for a walk also, you sometimes, you know, you see somebody who is walking, you feel like, you know, you should cross him. You know, for no reason. You can walk at your own pace, but you think that this person is walking slowly, I should walk faster than him, you know. Then once you cross him, then you find someone else in the front and you want to. So similarly, this person who is jogging, he saw somebody who is jogging about a mile ahead. A little far off. He thought, I should catch up with him, because he was jogging a little slow. So he just was increasing his pace. He started jogging. He came little closer and little closer. He thought, you know, after some time, you know, after a 5 minute jog, he was supposed to take a turn to his house. So, but then he was just after him, and then he came very close. He just, you know, just like in the Olympic race, you have a final lap. So he thought, now I'm come very close, let me just make an extra effort and go past him. And after some time, he went past by him. And in his heart, he was feeling so good that I just overtook him. But little he realized that he was almost 5 kilometers behind. Ahead, sorry. The place where he was supposed to take a turn went behind. So then again you have to walk back 5 kilometers and go back. So the moral here is saying that, you know, we get into or we get caught up in a competition with others. We don't know for why, but then when we enter into a competition, we just forget our goal as to why we're doing, and then realize, oh my goodness, where am I? And then when you realize it's too late also. This person already had gone so far ahead, he had come back. But he is saying that this is what we all are doing in our life. We all are doing. You know, we all think that, oh, my neighbor has this Audi, I also should have. Or my neighbor has a 42-inch color TV, I should have a 44-inch, probably. My neighbor has a 2 BHK, maybe I should have 3. That's what is happening. And then we don't realize where we are heading towards. You know, because lifespan is going to become lesser and lesser. The time when you are born, your death is certain. Every rising and setting of the sun, you are one day closer to death. That's why sometimes English language is very good. How many years old are you, he is saying. Even a child is born and says he is 2 months old, or maybe 5 days old, or 1 year old. So child may be only 5 days old, or we say 5 days old. We don't say 5 days young. That should make us realize that we are actually old. That means we are becoming old. And none of us have got anything, you know, like written down that you are going to leave your body at this time. Parikshit Maharaj had. He was given a death sentence, information that within 7 days he will leave his body. But we don't have that. We do not know. I do not know when I am going to leave my body. And if I lose or if I leave my body at this time, I have to take an inventory whether have I done my homework or not. How much time I spent in sense gratification, how much time I spent in something else. You know, have I done the right thing? Have I done my homework or not? We don't have time to think also. We don't have time to think. Everyone is there. Sometimes, you know, I drive. And then when I have to drive from Mira Road here, I have to drive at a speed. But I find sometimes, you know, a car is going at a very slow pace. Somebody wants to, you know, speed up and then overtake that for no reason. Just, but then that's what we all are for. We all are doing like this. So Rishabhdev mentions, "Tapo divyam putraka yena satyam shuddhet yasmat brahma saukyam tanant." Now that you have got this human form of life, don't waste this time in engaging in sense gratification which is available even for dogs and hawks. Prahlad Maharaj also says, "Puna punas charvita charvananam." Like we have taken so many births and we are going to chew the chewed, whatever. We are just going to have same thing in a different flavor probably, but in different way, different style, but the things are the same. But now that you have got this human form of life, just try to engage in what? Higher principle. Tapo divyam. Srila Prabhupada mentions a very nice thing at one particular place in his conversation. He says that hard work everyone has to do in this world. You know, in the material world, nothing comes easy. Just like there's an English saying, you have to dance for your supper. Somebody feeds you, that means you have to also do something for it because he fed you. You don't get things easily in this world. So in this world, everyone has to work. Everyone has to work. Prabhupada mentions the word pavarga. Parishram, fain, bandhan, bhai and mrityu. Pa, pha, ba, ba, ma. Pavarga. You know, everyone has to do. Parishram has to do. Foaming in the mouth. Gets attached. Because he has acquired so many things, he may fear losing it. And then mrityu. So, everyone has to work hard. So, Prabhupada is saying that you have to work hard. So, why not do a tapasya for the higher purpose of life? Practicing self-control. Practicing discipline, spiritual disciplines. Tapodinyam putraka ena sattvam. Shuddhet yasmat brahma saukyam tanantam. So, it is said that, you know, we should all take some time to stop. And try to ask ourselves that, let me understand, what am I doing this for? how much time do I have? I have maybe 20 years, I have maybe 30 years. Do I really need to engage in competition? Do I need to compare myself with somebody else? Because the things in life will not make you stay comfortably. Like I asked one of my friends, what is the goal of life? He said, I want to make maybe 1 crore rupees, he said. That's my goal. So, now this person has almost 10 crores. So then I asked him, what is his goal? He said, I want to make 100 crores. So that's the thing which is going to. There's a saying in Hindi, you know, Jo lakhpati hai aur karodpati banna chahta hai, karodpati hai aur arabpati banna chahta hai, aur kuch nahi. That's going on in this world. So when you achieve that particular goal, you don't want to stop at that. You want to do something else. So it is said that, you know, there is always going to be some place when you achieve your goal, a material goal, there is always something where you feel that I need more, I need more, I need more, I need more. Oh, I should do this. Oh, I need that, I need that. And that's how our life goes. But then the Shastras say, stop. Now that you have got his human form of life, think what you're supposed to do. Try to understand what should be the goal of life. And what are you supposed to do to achieve that goal? His Holiness Devanvi Swami Maharaj, very nicely, he was giving a class in IIT almost about 2007, six years back. He was saying that you people are Institute of Technology. He said this is an institution of information technology. But it gives information of everything else, but where is the information for pursuing a real goal of life? Whether the technology colleges, do they teach you that? He says we are talking about information technology, but information of everything about matter is there, but for non-matter there is no information. For spirit soul there is no information. So he was urging the students, he says, please try to understand this. He says, unless until you don't have the information about the goal of life, everything else will be waste. Because at the time of death, everything will go. Your name, your fame, your prestige, your acquisitions, everything will go. If you have acquired some possessions, this will go. You cannot take them with you. Name will lie down. Again, you have to take birth without any clothes, without anything. You have to again start learning ABC and again start earning. You can say, in my last life I was so and so, I had acquired. Probably if you know also, no one will give you that. Saying that in my last life I had this property. No, everything is finished. Devambit Maharaj said that forget about at the time of death. People have name, prestige, they may lose that at a time when they are still living also. He gave one example. He said that in Russia, one of the topmost brilliant chap was absorbed in one of the best companies in the world. That means it seems his future was made actually. He was one of the topmost persons, very brilliant. He can hack into anything. He can take any information anywhere. That was this brilliance. And he was hired by one of the topmost people. And the amount which he was getting was tremendous. So he thought, my life is made. He gave an example like this. He thought, my life is made. And he said, this is a recent story. Yeah? So my life is made. But it so happened that one day it seems he just went to the toilet. And from his board, from his computer desk, somebody else came when he was in the bathroom. He just crashed the entire system. Because he was also brilliant, but the envy was there, just like this drama we saw. He just pressed some things and crashed entire system. System was that was worth crores and crores. And when he came back, he came to his desk, he saw everything is finished. And there was an inquiry, and the inquiry held him guilty because there's no proof that he did not do it. Because he was sitting on that particular desk and he had no proof that he did not do it, and he was responsible for it, and he lost his job. He lost his job, he lost everything. And nobody was ready to hire him also. Because he had a name to him, a bad name to him. So this one example, Devamrita Maharaj is saying this one example, that somebody may lose the prestige, somebody may lose his popularity, somebody may lose his name while living here. So Prabhupada mentions that, you know, ultimately in this temporary material world, whatever you acquire is just going to go off at a time of death. So why you should engage in that? Instead, if you engage in something which is not going to go, then that is the intelligence. Then you are at the right place. And that's what is actually what we are all supposed to do. Prabhupada mentions the only wealth that we can all acquire is the wealth of Krishna consciousness. Because that is the only thing that will be carried forward wherever you are. Prabhupada mentions that if you have completed 67% in this life, next life you are rest assured that you will start with 67 onwards. Not that you have to again start from zero. You know, most of us in this room, somebody may have, you know, done 99% has just come and 1% he has to finish and goes. Somebody is in, finished about 90%, somebody is 10%, 20%. So whichever position they are in, whatever they have made progress, they'll go. So this is what is we all have to aspire for. In a very nice discussion between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Shripad Ramanand Rai, very nice conversation. Ramanand Rai is none other but Vishakha Devi from Krishna Leela, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whom we all know, Lord Krishna came in the mood of Srimati Radharani, and he actually, on the banks of Godavari at Kavur, he actually engaged in a conversation with Sri Ramanand Rai, and he asked him so many questions. And after some time, you know, very wonderful dialogues which took place. And let me just read out these dialogues. It's very worth to just understand this. It said that Ramanand Rai, after the initial day of discussion, next day when he met, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him point blank questions actually. It is said that the first question he asked is that, you know, of all the type of educations, which is the best education? So it is said that Ramananda mentioned, the person who has transcendent loving service for Krishna, that person is the most educated. Then he asked another question. He says, of all the activities, which is the most glorious activities? He said, a person who is reputed to be Krishna's devotee enjoys utmost fame and glory. That means somebody who is a devotee of Krishna, he is a person who is supposed to be having the fame and glory. Then he asked another question. He said, of all the capitalists, that means with riches, who is the topmost? He says, one who is rich in love for Radha and Krishna is the greatest capitalist. One who has love for Radha and Krishna is the greatest capitalist. And he says, of all the type of distress, of all kinds of distress, which is the most painful? So Ramananda said, apart from separation from the devotee of Krishna, I know of no unbearable unhappiness. He says, when you don't have any association of devotees, then that is the most painful. And Prabhupada in the purport mentions that this is what a person or devotee should cherish. When he is surrounded by Vaishnavas who are also engaged in the wonderful services for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna, then you are the most happiest person. And you actually are the most, you can say, person free from all kinds of distress. Because if you don't have any association with Vaishnavas and you have everything else in this world, then you still are poor and you still are in distress. And it says, of all the liberated persons, who is the greatest? This is one who has love for Krishna. He is the topmost liberated person. And then he say, ask the last question. He says, among many songs, which songs were considered actual religion of the living entity? Ramana Rai replied, that song describing the loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna is superior to all other songs. So in other words, you know, when we are talking about our goal of life is nothing but a loving service for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. You know, instead of engaging competition, we should always engage in the service. That's why Prabhupada, in many times in his translation of bhakti, he says bhakti means devotional service. So, you know, when you engage in service of Vaishnavas, then you should understand that that's your wealth actually, and that's your priceless possession that you have. And to be engaged in this and to remember the wonderful glorious pastimes of Radha and Krishna, that is supposed to be the person, that person is supposed to be the most liberated of all. So we all have to understand this, that we have to make this our goal of life. Material things, all this is proper, is never against material acquisitions. But what is really really important is that whatever we have, we use it in Krishna's service, use it in pleasure of Krishna's devotees, Krishna's wonderful servants, and we engage that in such a way that, you know, we give pleasure to them. Even in the spiritual world, if you see, everyone is engaged in the service, being the servant of the servant of servant. Chaitanya Babu taught us very nice, Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamarur Das Dasanu Das. We don't want to acquire the position of being the masters. We want to be the servant of the servant of those who serve. In the spiritual world, you know, the manjaris are always engaged in serving the gopis. The gopis serving the gopis. The gopis are engaged in serving Srimati Radha. Radha is serving Gopinath. Always a competition is there. Once His Holiness Radha Swami Maharaj was mentioning, in the spiritual world, everything is, you know, increasing. If Krishna looks at a flower, then the flower thinks that, oh, Krishna is looking at me. Let me just make Krishna happy by just blooming nicely. So the flower blooms. So when Krishna sees the flower, Krishna thinks, oh, the flower is trying to bloom for my pleasure. Let me just... So there is ever increasing love that takes place in the spiritual world actually. And when somebody engages his mind in just hearing these wonderful pastimes and the glories of the Lord, then he perfects his life. And then always engage in loving service of his wonderful devotees, then he has this priceless possession himself with him, the wealth, the real wealth. Today happens to be the appearance of Radha Kund, Bahulashtami, very, very auspicious. In fact, in the month of Kartik, so many auspicious days are there. Govardhan Leela has taken place, appearance of Radha Kund is there, Gopashtami takes place, Damodar Leela has taken place here in this month, and today happens to be the 8th day of the waning phase of the moon, and Radha Kund appeared in the midnight today. It is said that in this holy land of Radha Kund, thousands of devotees, they go in the midnight at 12 o'clock to take bath in this holy place, Radha Kund here. But it's said that even though we will not be there at Radha Kund, we can, by the sound vibration, we can be at Radha Kund and bathe in that. It is said that during this particular time, it's mentioned that people take garlands, they take prasad, and they take pumpkins and offer to the holy water over there. And lots of devotees, they go. Many Vaishnavas, acharyas have made a bhajan kutir around Radha Kund and Shyam Kund. They'll pass the last days doing their bhajan. One of the acharyas, Raghunatha Swami, had his bhajan kutir. He has his bhajan kutir over there. He actually, after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this planet, he was with him at Jagannath Puri during the last days, Antya Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he witnessed all the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu over there. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this planet, then he left and went to Govardhan he made his place there, and then he excavated this holy place and built a wonderful kund, Radha Kund and Shyam Kund. The story, as you all know, but then I still repeat that for my own purification, that while during Krishna Leela, there was a demon in the form of Arishtasura, a bull. He came to Vrindavan to destroy. And Krishna effortlessly just killed Arishtasura, as a washerman picks a cloth and, you know, throws it on the ground to wash. So similarly, Krishna just effortlessly took Arishtasura and, you know, smashed him on the ground and finished. That's Krishna. For Krishna doesn't need to, you know, strengthen his muscles and has to, you know, prepare himself for the final bout. Nothing. He just goes as usual out of his house with his friends, and then whatever comes, he just does that. The next moment he plays with his friends. Before that also he plays with his friends. And after he's finishing his, you know, killing a demon, he again plays with his friends. That's what Krishna does. You know, every day, that's an everyday affair, what Krishna does. One demon a day. So this time it was Arishtasura. Arishtasura is a bull demon. So Krishna took him, effortlessly just smashed him. Floor. And then later on, he just went, nothing. You know, what we see in the movies is a perverted reflection of all this. You know, in movies also you find sometimes, you know, 20 gundas will be there, but still he just goes and, you know, he may have his nice tie and, you know, shirt and trouser well ironed, and nothing happens to him, no? And they will have all the swords and daggers, all the gundas, but then he smashes them and still just goes and meets his heroine. It's a perverted reflection. But still, here, this is Krishna Leela. You know, when Krishna does everything, he just does so nicely, sweetly. And when you hear this wonderful voice, it purifies your heart. You know? So after killing Arishtasura, Krishna went to meet Srimati Radharani. So when he went there, Radharani and the Gopi said, Krishna, we don't want to be playing with you now, because you have committed sin of killing a bull. Hatya, go Hatya. So you are sinful. So you should go to the holy places, take bath, absolve yourself from all the sins, and then come back. Then we'll. Krishna said, fine, no problem. But why will you go to all the holy places? He said, I will call all the holy places here. I don't want to travel anywhere. I will call all the places here. So Krishna, he made a small hole. And then he called all the holy places. All the personified holy places came in a personified form. They came and they poured their water in that particular pond, which he had created with his own. And then Krishna took a bath and he came out and he said, now I have relieved myself from all the sins. I am now pure. But then the gopis said, okay, fine. The gopis saw all these things, magic happening there. So gopis says, fine, now you can play. Krishna said, no, now I will not. Because you have sided with the demon. You sided with Arishtasura. So now I will not play with you. You have sinful, committed sin. So you should not take bath in holy places. And then I can play with you. So Radharani all decided, okay. So they decided to make a big long queue from there to Manasi Ganga. You know. So the gopis made a big queue. And with their own bangles, you know, Radharani and all the gopis made a kund. And they wanted to take the waters from Manasi Ganga Putya. At that time, the personified holy rivers who had filled Krishna's kund, they came and approached and said, please allow us to fill your kund. And then Radharani agreed, and then all these holy rivers, they filled his kund. And then Krishna told Srimati Radharani, he said, because you're dear to me, this kund is more dear to me than you. And anyone who takes bath in your kund will get loving service to me and you. So he said, I have this more, this kund is more sacred than anything in this. So Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Instruction mentions that greater than Vaikuntha is the land of Mathura. Why? Because that's where the Lord had appeared. But greater than Mathura is Vrindavan. Why? Because Krishna performed his pastimes there. But greater than Vrindavan is Govardhan, because he had wonderful intimate loving affairs with Srimati Radha and the gopis around Govardhan. And more sacred of all, even from Govardhan, is Shiva Radha Kund. Why? Because it is dear to Srimati Radharani. So here it's said that many acharyas have done their bhajan here. Raghunathas Goswami was staying there and he was chanting his prescribed number of rounds every day on the banks of Radha Kund. Janva Mata, who is Nityanand's consort, she also made a bhajan kutir over there. She stayed there. And Raghunatha Goswami was actually chanting in the open. And Sanatana Goswami saw that two times Srimati Radharani came to protect her. Once a tiger was, you know, had come near the banks of Radha Kund and trying to drink. And that time Srimati Radharani came and shooed away the tiger because she did not want to disturb Raghunatha Goswami. When Sanatana Goswami saw this, he said, it's not right. We cannot take service from Srimati Radharani. And second time it was very hot and Raghunatha Goswami was engaged in chanting. And Srimati Radharani took her, you know, pallu, veil and covered Raghunatha Goswami. And that time Sanatana Goswami chastised. He said, you should build a bhajan kutir here. You are taking service from Srimati Radharani over here. You are coming around the banks of Radha Kund, sacred place. You are doing a bhajan, but actually what is happening that you are taking service from Radharani. So you should build a bhajan kutir. So Sanatana Goswami then later built a bhajan kutir over here and he was doing his naam jap at this, Raghunathas Goswami. Raghunathas Goswami built a bhajan kutir at this place and he was every day chanting his prescribed number of rounds. And he said that at this place, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, every day he would recite the wonderful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, who wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita, he actually came here, he heard every day what Raghunatha Goswami would recite. And then at a fag end of his life, when he was in his 90s, that time Nityanand Prabhu, spiritual master, instructed him that he should write Chaitanya Charitamrita here. So this particular place has a lot of significance from every point of view. Devotees go there and respectfully, you know, take some sacred waters and put in the head and take bath in a very, very gentle way on the instruction of their spiritual masters. When Prabhupada went there and he saw that, you know, his disciples were just jumping, and he said, this is very sacred, you cannot do this. He abstained them from taking bath in that way. So this is the most sacred place, the holiest of all holy rivers, and that happens to be today. So we just pray that on this particular day we also can get this, you know, some taste for getting attracted to the holy names. Here in this particular description, Ramanand Rai was asked of all the places which is the most important. He says, chanting of the holy names is the greatest, and that is available to all of us in this age of Kali Yuga, and easily available to us, you know. And the easiest way to go back to Godhead by just taking shelter of the holy name. That's all. Kalil kare naam rupi Krishna avatar. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this holy name for us to take shelter of. And when we take shelter of this holy name in a very, very, humble mood, in a mood of serving, then we also can get the same destiny. We do not know when we only can endeavor from our side. The mercy can come later on. We just only endeavor, that's all. But our goal should be that let us not in any way waver away from our goal of life, that is loving devotional service to Sri Radha and Krishna. Engage wholeheartedly in the association of Vaishnavas, never at any moment leave the association of Vaishnavas, and serve in a mood of service attitude, not in a mood of competition, not in a mood of envy. And take this holy name in a very, very serious manner, because this particular holy name, you know, has to be taken with gravity. You cannot just take it very lightly. If it is taken lightly, probably you do not know. You may not get an opportunity again. Narottama Thakur prays, Hari Hari Bifale Janama Gonainu, Manushya Janama Paya Radha Krishna Bhajiya Na Bhajiya Janiya Shunya Vishakhainu. He says, Hari Hari Bifale Janama, my life is spoiled. Manushya Janama Paya, I have got this human form of life, but then now Radha Krishna Na Bhajiya Janiya Vishya Khainu. Golokera, what is that? Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. No? What is it? Golokare Premadana. Harinama Sankirtana. He says, from Goloka, this Harinam Sankirtana has come. That is a Premadhan. Ratina Janmilo Kenatai. But I have no attachment for it. So he is begging that, you know, let me just take shelter of this. So we just only pray in this way that we can take shelter of this holy name, and then holy name can come only through the medium of his devotees. You cannot take the holy name just like that. The devotees give. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, Krishna se tomara Krishna dite paro tomara shakti ache ami to kangala Krishna Krishna bole dhaitav pache pache. He says Krishna is yours, only you can give Krishna. That's your power. Tomara shakti ache. Ami to kangala. I don't have that. Krishna Krishna bole dhai tava pache pache. Please give me. I just am begging for that. So let us be in that mood. And let us all collectively progress in this particular effort of our etching our goal of life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We can have